And I realize I'm between the baptismal of Nathan, so I'm going to try to be quick, but also going to be, I really feel like this is what the Lord wants us to hear tonight. And I know I'm still growing, still learning. I want to talk about a servant spirit. And just been thinking about this for a while and how we can be used by God. And to be used by God, we have to have a servant attitude. So we have to have a spirit of servitude in our walk with the Lord for Him to. I really believe for Him to use us the way He wants us to use us. We can't be puffed up. We can't be about ourselves. We can't. There's a lot of things we can't do, but there is one thing that we can do, and that is to worship Him, put Him first, and put Jesus first in everything. And when we put Jesus first, it changes everything in our lives. And we humble ourselves and before Him. And sometimes, you know, men, sometimes it's hard for us to humble ourselves, isn't it? Because we get these egos. I'm in charge. It's my house. Oh, you know what I mean? No, I own it. One of us agrees, I guess. Oh, I guess our wives agree too. But we get these attitudes sometimes. And then when we start doing that, we put ourselves above where we should be, and we need to lower ourselves. I think some of the things as a husband, sometimes we just need to lower ourselves and realize what our wives or their God gave us as a helpmate or helpmeet to help us get through things, not to try to carry everything ourselves, and to help us out. That's why he gave us our wives. In my thoughts, is that, you know, that they are there to help us to get through things, you know. And I just appreciate my wife so much. You know, at the end of the month, we've 32 years. I can't believe it. It's a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the scripture I want to go to first is found in John. I love the book of John. There's so much you can find in the book of John when you read it. Brother Aaron referenced it a little bit last couple of weeks when he was talking about the oneness of God. And that's where I found revelation of the oneness, was what reading the book of John. It was just like, you know, you read it, but then you read it, and pow, it hits you right in the head. Boom! You're like, oh, wow, there's no three. There's just one. I appreciate that. But John chapter 13, and I'm going to start in verse 3 and 5. They're getting ready for the Passover, and Jesus told his disciples to go and find them a place to go. And they went into this house, room, whatever, for the Passover. And while they were there, you know, the custom of the Jews were when you come into someone's home, the host of the house would greet you and they would wash your feet. Because they had this, they wore sandals or barefoot and they were filthy, dirty. So when you walked in, they had a servant or someone there that would wash your feet and take care of you. But here, it's kind of, I find it ironic that here we're going to read, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Next verse. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. He rises from supper. So they've already begun eating. You think about it. They already begun eating, and he rose up. And it's almost like he realized, you know what, there's something we need to do. Go on to the next verse. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel whereon he was girded. And I thought about that scripture. Jesus, who to me is one of the prime example of our perfect example in the Word of God, of how we should be and how we should act. Here he was. He was the host of this dinner. It was about him because he knew what was going to happen in the next few hours, in the next few days, of things that was going on. He talked for 3.5 years. He was teaching his disciples things. And if you read on in that passage, which we're not going to do, it talks about Judas Iscariot was there. He even washed Judas's feet. He even washed the foot of the man who was going to turn against him. How do we act when we have people turn against us? Do we show them the love and the respect that Jesus showed Judas, knowing what Judas was going to do? But as a servant, Jesus bowed himself down before his disciples and he started washing their feet. He humbled himself before his disciples. And we all know what Peter did. Peter spoke, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord," you know, and he opened his mouth again like he always does or always did. Always the first to react to things and do things. But Peter had a servant attitude, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have been there listening to what God wanted him to do and do the things that God wanted. But Peter, I think sometimes we all act like Peter at times. You know, we're going to be boisterous, be bold, be out there. But down inside, we know that we love God and that we're going to do what God wants us to do. But Jesus told Peter, "No, if I don't wash your feet, you have really no," and I paraphrase, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part of me. So Peter humbled himself, and he said, "Not only my feet, but all of me." We have to get that servant spirit. Excuse me. You know, and what should have happened when they walked in was someone should have washed Jesus' feet, but they didn't. They didn't. The host of the house or the owner of the house, they should have washed his feet, but no one did. But I think about how he took a small group of men, and with these men, he turned the world upside down. Their lives changed. People's lives were changed by what we hear. The effect of what happened at that time, we feel even through today. People are hearing about the Word of God because there was a group of men who followed Jesus, who humbled themselves and wanted to listen to what God wanted to say. And when I think of a servant, I don't think of as someone who goes around boasting about all the great deeds they do. When I think of a servant, it's not someone who's going around telling me, I've done this, I've done that, boasting. A servant, if you think about it, is always kind of like in the shadows. Working in the background, making sure things are taken care of, making sure things are getting done. The thing about a servant, they don't really get the option to tell someone else what to do. You think about that. They're told to do something, and they're expected to go and do it. That's a servant. And we're all servants. Are we not servants of God? We don't have the choice as a servant of God. We don't have the choice to say, "No, I'm not going to do that." If God directs us to do something, it's not our choice not to do it. We have been commanded. We are His children. We're His servants to serve Him, live for Jesus, the one true God, to understand who He is and to do what things He wants us to do. One of the things I work hard because I want to have that servant spirit or that servant attitude. When Pastor or Sister Meadows or anybody in the church asks me to do something, I will do everything I can to do it. I rarely will go to somebody else and ask somebody else to do it. And Pastor or Sister Meadows, they usually tell me, "It's okay to delegate, Brother Deacons." But I feel like if I'm asked to do something, it's an honor to do that. And I want to make sure I can do it and do it to my fullest. Because at the end of the day, when someone asks you to do something, you become accountable for it as the person they contacted. And if it doesn't get done, it's no one's fault but your own. You can say, "I delegated to so-and-so," or "I gave it to somebody else." But it doesn't matter because you were called responsible for it. So you can't go say, "Well, I got to go check with my..." Let's say Pastor Sister Meadows asked me to, "Brother Dinkins, I need you to do A, B, C, and D." I said, "Okay, I'll do A, B, C, and D." I go to my wife, say, "Rhonda, I need you to do A, B, C, and D." And Rhonda doesn't do A, B, C, and D. And Pastor comes back and says, "Why wasn't A, B, C, and D done?" "Well, let me go check with my wife." That's not right. We're a servant. We are called to do something. God is telling us to do something. We need to do it. And I believe that our pastor is the voice of God here, the voice of God here in this church. When pastor gets behind this pulpit, or even if he's not behind this pulpit, you don't have to be behind here to hear the voice of God. You could be anywhere. And when God talks to us, we need to be able to listen and understand that He's dictating, telling us what He wants us to do as His servants. And we got to be attentive to people's needs when they come into the church and be available for them. I thought about the different things, how we act sometimes. And I think some of the hidden servants in this church are those who clean this church. You got Brother Paul back and Brother Paul Cameron back there. He's in charge of the cleaning of the church. I don't know how many times he has come and cleaned this church when someone who was on the schedule to do so failed to do it. And everyone comes in, they take for granted how nice the church looks. Oh, look how beautiful. Everything looks so nice. And I realize we're under construction, and even after we do the under construction back there, it still looks nice for our services, and it gives that appearance. It all looks good. Everyone pitching in. But a lot of us do not even know who comes in and cleans the church. They just show up, do it, and leave. There's no big fanfare about it. But I guarantee you, go one or two services with no one coming and cleaning, somebody's going to complain about it. And they're not on the cleaning crew. Servants are, like I said before, do a lot of their work in the hidden part, behind the scenes. You don't see a whole lot that's going on. They don't ask questions. Their role is just go out and do what they're supposed to do. I think another example of a servant in the Bible was Peter, believe it or not. You know, we all joke around about how he always inserted his foot in his own foot washing service, you know, put his own foot in his own mouth and all those things. But you know what? He loved God. He spent three and a half years with the Lord. You know, they're wanting to learn more things, getting closer. And you think of the other men in the Bible, John, you know, John the Beloved and all these men. But it was Peter on the day of Pentecost that stood up when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, and there was the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2, how the Holy Ghost came down and fell upon everyone in the upper room. What an experience that would have been, to be the first time the Holy Ghost fell. Think about what it felt like when you received the Holy Ghost. When you felt the Spirit of God come upon you. You might have been by yourself, or you might have been in a church service. The Holy Ghost fell. But could you imagine what it would have been like in a crowded upper room? What they say, there were like 100 or I don't know the numbers of people they were up in there. 120, that's right. See, Pastor keeps me straight. I appreciate that. I knew it was, for some reason I had a 50 in mind. I knew it was more than that. But 120 people in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost fell. Could you imagine what that felt like and sounded like? The power that hit that place. Yes. Yes. And the excitement that it was so loud. The excitement was so loud when the Holy Ghost fell. They said it was like a mighty rushing wind came through. That people from all over the area came out to see what was going on. These guys are drunk. They're on something. And then Peter, he stands up. He wasn't ridiculing them or not. He just started preaching the word of God to them, started preaching them about what the prophets were talking about, of the things that were going to happen. And he went on and preached to them. He stood up. He did what God wanted because he trained for 3.5 years as a servant under Jesus, for 3.5 years trained under him and knew what God wanted him to do. Even before Jesus' death, we know what he'd done, but cutting off the high priest's ear and all those different things. But yet when it came down to it, after he received the Holy Ghost, he was a changed man. Just like us, when we get the Holy Ghost, we become changed. We're not the same person we were before because we died. And so our attitudes and things that we like to do, they have to die also, because we have to become that servant of God to do it, because we are now his children. Amen? We need to be that person for him that God wants us to be. Peter stood up and preached on that day. And when he got done, this is where I want to start reading in Acts chapter 2:37. We're going to read that first. When he got done preaching to these people, this crowd that thought these men were drunk out of their mind and didn't know what was going on, they said, now when they heard this, what this was the word of God being preached. to them. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Holy Ghost was so powerful there on that day of Pentecost when it fell, and they got so excited that when Peter stood up, he preached the word of God to them about repentance and what they needed to do and the different things about this Jesus who you persecuted with, what was talked about in the old days. Of course, the Old Testament wasn't written yet. You know that, right? Wasn't in the Old and New Testament, but he was talking about what the prophet Joel talked about, all the prophets, everything leading up to the point about Jesus, what it was about, is what he preached to these people. And they were pricked in their hearts because they realized what they'd done. And when we get to the realization of understanding of what God has done and what we have done to him at times, when we feel like we become mightier than we should be, or acting like a dictator, not being a servant, wanting to serve God and be a servant to one another. We need to serve one another. And we need to come with that attitude that we're a servant for one another. You know, I'm the co-administrator. Titles don't mean nothing to me. It doesn't matter. You know, it's an honor. But I consider myself just like everyone else. We're all in equal because we all have this. God is our head, and without him, we can't do anything. And it's not my place to go and tell you need to do this if I'm not willing to do it myself. But anyway, Peter preached to them, and when they got done, they were pricked in their hearts. When we talk to people about Jesus, there should be such a turning in their heart that they want to know what are they to do. What do I need to do to change? That's what happened to me many years now, over 32 years ago, is when I heard the word of God, and God, it got inside of me. It pricked my heart. Well, I knew I needed to change my life and the way I was living. I had to change how I was living because I knew where I was heading if I did not change my life. And then the next verse. Most of us in here can probably quote it, but Acts 2:38. When Peter heard they were pricked, and they asked Peter, what do I need to do? He stood up and said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what we're here to celebrate tonight, is Nathan being baptized in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what's exciting about it, getting baptized in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the answer to a lot of our problems. That's our answers. And if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, there is no reason why you cannot be done tonight. Pastor would love to have a whole line of people if they need to be baptized, he would do it. Because that is the saving power of God. Because when we are baptized, we become a new creature in Christ. Our old habits, our old things, our past are dead. We become out new. Our attitudes are different. Praise God. Well, some say that was for back then. That's in the old days. It doesn't apply today. I want to beg a difference, because the Word of God says in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We don't do it ourselves. It's God called us to come to repentance. He calls us to come to being baptized. And when we get that call, we cannot disobey that call because we're his servant. He created us. We're here for him. And I just want to say this here in closing. I told you I was going to be short because I can't wait to see Brother Nathan get baptized in Jesus' name. I believe when he comes out of that water, there's going to be a fire come around. There's going to be excitement coming around. And I also believe that if you need the Holy Ghost, it will fall on you tonight. There's no reason why, if we obey the word of God, let it fall down. Come upon us. We are his servant, and we need to have a servant spirit, willing to serve others above ourselves. And I'm not talking about going out and doing crazy, stupid things. I'm talking about serving God with all of our heart, having that spirit, or we want to serve other people, be helpful to other people, be there for them. And when we're asked to do something, we're going to take that responsibility and do it. Or if we see something, don't worry about being glorified over it. You see something that needs done. I don't know how many times I've seen pastor come in here and go around and straighten up these little envelopes. I don't know how many people he's asked to help with that, but I always catch him doing it. So if I catch him over there doing it, I try to get over there and try to beat him over to it. I don't always do it. If we all pitched in and did those little things together, pastor wouldn't have to worry about it. And I know he loves doing it. That's one of the things he loves to do. And I wouldn't want to take that joy from him. But you know what? Sometimes others want to help out. Praise God. So as I get ready to close, I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor for the baptismal part, or how you want musicians to come up. We'll have the musicians come up, Sister Megan. We're just going to play some music. And I tell you what, I just feel it on my heart that we need a time here. Won't we just all stand as they dim the lights and get ready? And that this, we all have an opportunity right now to kind of repent. If we had an attitude in our life that were maybe that we weren't acting like a servant like we should have been acting like when it comes to being a servant. Because I am thankful that we can go to God. We can go to him and we can ask for forgiveness. That's the nice thing about the Lord. If we go to him first, it works out a lot better. You ever get hit by a 2x4? If you don't, that's what it feels like sometimes. I've been hit by a 2x4, by the way, so I know. Have you ever walked into a 2x4? Not seeing where you're going and boom, hitting you in the head? It doesn't feel good. And you know what? If we don't recognize when we've done something wrong and we don't go make it right, the Lord can sometimes take that 2x4, boom. You know, he's loving and kind, and he gives us opportunities. But at some point, you know, you keep telling your kids, quit doing that, quit doing that, quit doing that. Pretty soon you get tired of saying it, you just go, whack. And they quit doing that. And sometimes that's what it takes. But you know what? I think at times we just need to ask God to forgive us for things that we've done. Because I think this is a special night. I am so excited about Brother Nathan being baptized. With Pastor being here to baptize. I know Nathan's excited about that. And I just want to, let's just pray together. And as we get ready for the baptism. Because I believe that God wants to do something special tonight. If you're here and not received, have the Holy Ghost or not been baptized in Jesus' name, you have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity. You know, we don't know what lies ahead of any of us. We don't know what goes beyond, but it's our duty to understand what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is specific on what we need to do. And I would not want to disobey the Word of God. Lord, I just praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness to us, Lord. Lord, we worship you and lift you up, God. We just ask, Lord God, that we just come together with you, Lord. Lord, just examine my heart, Lord. Just look me over, Lord Jesus. If there be something there, God, let me ask for that forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Lord, to do what you want me to do, Lord, as we lift you up, as we come to magnify you and to praise you. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do here in this service, Lord, as we go into this part of the service with the baptism of Nathan, Lord Jesus. So thankful, God, that I can be a witness to that, Lord, to be here, to watch him be baptized in your wonderful name, that wonderful, the only way to be baptized in the name of Jesus, which I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for truth. I thank you for goodness, Lord. We give you praise and honor, Lord, in Jesus.